today's study is entitled Recognizing the Enemy. The Apostle Paul told us to put on the whole armor of God. Not part of it. He said, put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes, the cunningness, if you please, of the devil. But as Christians, we seem to have forgotten his counsel over the years. In fact, there are millions today who are actually paying money to have the devil tempt them, rather than praying to God that he will keep them from the devil's temptations. Isn't that a strange thing? Sort of a twist, if you please, in thinking today. And before we get into this incredible study that I want to share, I want you to pray with me right now. Father, you know that Satan doesn't want this message to be heard. He doesn't want us to understand, for there's nothing that he fears so much as that we should become acquainted with his ways, with his methods, with his unique methods of deception. And Father, today as we lay open some of the way in which he's been working over the years, I pray that we might be in tune with your Spirit. Bless those who are listening today on radio, and I just pray that you'll bless each of us today and keep us safe from the evil one. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, we live in a world where fantasy is more acceptable than truth. Are you aware of that? Where people are more likely to defend Santa Claus than Jesus Christ. Even in the Christian world, may I suggest, we're far more fascinated and engrossed in the make-believe than in the reality of God and his word. In fact, today religious novels spill over off of the bookshelves in our Christian bookstores today. Religious novels are sold literally by the millions, while the word of God is laid aside as boring, hard to read, and difficult to understand. In this so-called enlightened age of universal information, our minds are degenerating, may I suggest, due to an ever-increasing lack of biblical wisdom and godly intelligence. Now, even though our computers have access to a worldwide ocean of information, the great majority of users are drowning in its whirlpools of entertainment and riptides of pornography. What I'm saying, beloved, is that the growing technology of mass media and telecommunication systems, which are invading every aspect of our world today, are not being used for spiritual growth or for moral development, but rather for the systematic destruction of human minds and lives. We've lived in a deepening cesspool of human philosophy and worldly wisdom for so long that our minds seem almost incapable of fighting against the ever-increasing current of corruption and stupidity. The greatest gift that we've been given, beloved, is our minds. And the majority of us are wasting it by either refusing to use it or by allowing the forces of darkness to access it. I think Ellen White said it better than any of us could in the book The Great Controversy, page 561. Listen to these words. Marvelous, beyond expression, is the blindness of the people of this generation. Thousands reject the word of God as unworthy of belief and with eager confidence receive the deceptions of Satan. Nothing can arouse their fears. So fully have they yielded to the tempter, so closely are they united with him, and so thoroughly imbued with his spirit that they have no power and no inclination to break away from his snares. And then she adds these closing remarks. And remember, this was written in 1911. Little by little, Satan has prepared the way for his masterpiece of deception in the development of spiritualism. He has not yet, in 1911, reached the full accomplishment of his designs, but it will be reached in the last remnant of time. Except those who are kept by the power of God through faith in His Word, the whole world will be swept into the ranks of this delusion. The people are fast being lulled into a fatal security to be awakened only by the outpouring of the wrath of God. End quote. That's profound. Beloved, we can't have it both ways. We are either on the side of God or on the side of the enemy of God. We cannot play mind games with the devil and hope to have the mind of God at the same time. Let me show you what's been happening right before our eyes. Over your lifetime and mine. If our movie industry had taken one giant leap from Father Knows Best back in the 1950s into our present day sitcoms. Did you catch that? Sitcoms. Every Christian in America would have gasped in horror if we would have made that leap from the 1950s to where we are today overnight. But Satan doesn't work that way, beloved, because he knows that Christians won't take big leaps toward hell. But if he leads them just one little step at a time, then they will eventually get there just the same. It's like the old frog in the pot you've all heard about. If he's dropped in hot water, he'll hop right out. But if the cool water is turned up one little degree at a time, he will eventually boil himself to death. I have here in my hand an interesting little guideline for Christians. It was written back in the days of Father Knows Best, back in 1956. As I read this little list of recommended television programs. You'll forgive me for talking about TV just for a moment, okay? But it's very important I do this. As I read this list of recommended television programs, I challenge you today to ask yourself if these are the types of programs that you're still watching, or do you find them boring? Here they are, 1956. Number one, these are recommended television programs, 1956. Number one, industrial programs. Telecasts showing processes of manufacture, lumbering, mining, oil production, public utilities, transportation, commerce, and transmission of news and information. Number two, scientific processes of food research. Three, travelogues, programs of other countries, their national habits, customs, and life, excluding scenes that may have an unwholesome influence. Number four, nature and wildlife, programs of national or other parks, natural scenery, mountain climbing, exploration, the Forest Service, animal life in various states and nations, the life development of insects, plants, fish, birds, and animals, excluding those that emphasize cruelty. Number five, archaeology and wholesome art, programs that conform to recognized standards of Christian modesty. How are you doing so far? Still with me? Can you handle a couple of more acceptable programs for Christians? Here's number 10, biographical, programs of honorable characters, worthy of emulation and accurately portrayed and otherwise meeting standards set forth in this statement. Number 11, wholesome and uplifting types of music. Have you had enough? Are you thinking with me today? How many of these types of programs, beloved, do you think your children or grandchildren would sit down and watch today? Do you think that you would hear the word boring? And by the way, that's what thousands of young people are saying today about going to church. Are you aware of that? It's boring. However, let me just add that those churches or fellowships that are not considered boring are the ones that are usually not into the Word or the Bible, but are into entertainment and the contemporary gospel rock and youth activities and parties. And let me tell you why that's the case. Now, it should be self-evident, but unfortunately, in many cases, it isn't. We don't see it. We don't discern the enemy. We don't know what he's been doing to our head. The basic reason that we are so attracted to entertainment or to programs of make-believe and fantasy is because it appeals to our carnal natures. And our natural thirst for emotional fulfillment, beloved, is addictive. In other words, our heart of sin that we're all born with can never, hear what I'm saying, can never be satisfied no matter how much entertainment it gets. And that's why, beloved, the Bible says we must be born again and given a brand new heart, one that loves God and loves His Word. And from the little pamphlet here that I hold in my hand, written back in 1956 again, let me read what it says about unacceptable television programs. Are you ready for this? Unacceptable programs back in 1956. And every time I read this, I'm shocked at how far our carnal hearts, beloved, have taken us away from the fundamental biblical principles of God's Word. Now again, as you listen to this list, ask yourself some serious questions. Be honest with yourself. Ask yourself which heart is in charge of your life and has been this week. Here are the unacceptable programs. They are, number one, those in which coarse, profane, or vulgar language is used. Number two, programs that lower esteem for the sanctity of marriage by portraying family disruptions or ridiculing home life and home relationships. Number three, programs portraying scenes of intimate lovemaking. And by the way, back in the 1950s, the most lovemaking you saw then was when the cowboy kissed his horse. Just kind of kidding, but we've come a long ways, beloved. Number four, programs portraying scenes that are contrary to Christian standards and ideals, such as dancing, card playing, gambling, drinking, nightlife, carousing, gaiety, revelry, and rowdiness. Seen any of those programs lately? They were not recommended in the 1956 era. They were discouraged. Five, programs portraying crime, glorifying criminals, or attempting to teach that crime does not pay, but spending most of the time depicting the crime. Six, programs portraying scenes of violence, cruelty, or brutality, such as prize fighting or professional wrestling. We wouldn't be into that, would we? Number seven, programs portraying scenes of smoking or drinking as desirable social activities. Number eight, programs that by ridicule, insinuation, or crude comedy could lower the estimation of the observer, in the estimation of the observer, his regard for the law of God, religion, or the ministry. Number nine, programs of a pseudo, that's false, scientific, or historical character that distort the facts or pervert the truth. And listen up, boys and girls, because you've never heard this before. This is number 10. Your mommies and daddies and grandmas and grandpas should have told you this, but they probably didn't know it either. Number 10, animated cartoons that violate the standards of propriety set forth above. Have you seen any violent cartoons lately? Have you seen any cartoons where families are not loved and cherished and nurtured? We'll leave it right there. Bottom line, America, beloved, has entertained our children and grandchildren to death, to a spiritual death. And today, even our Christian families are not exempt, for Satan comes boldly into our living rooms and his filthy words and thoughts into our brains, and we seem powerless to stop him. We can't even turn the channel. We can't even hit the OFF button. And we wait for him to spit again. Beloved, what's happened to us as a people? What's happened to us as a nation? And what's worse, we even pay him to come into our homes and spit in our brains. We buy the best satellite dishes or cable networks that we can buy in order to have the greatest number of channels so that we can choose the good programs. There's got to be at least one good one out of the 200 channels I've got. Unfortunately, beloved, all we have to do is compare the 1950s with where we are today, and it becomes very clear that we are not very good at choosing the good. In fact, the more channels we have to surf, the more opportunity Satan has for taking us down his primrose path to eternal death and loss. Let me paint a little scenario, if I may, for you today that's played out every day throughout this great nation we all love. After giving our children a diet of fiction, drama, novels, excitement, fantasy, infidel books, fables, sensational literature, magic, love stories, light reading, popular publications, their own TVs and their own computers, we then stand back wringing our little hands, wondering why they're out of control. Why are they so hyper? Why don't they have respect for authority? Why have they such short attention spans? And why have they no interest in church or in God or in His written word, the Bible? Bottom line, beloved, we don't recognize the enemy, nor do we understand how he's influencing our minds today. And he's done it one little step at a time. Let me share some points about the effects of fiction, drama, novels, and theater, and how they impact our minds. Ellen warned us over 100 years ago that these sensational and exciting stories would destroy interest in God's Word and religious things. Has that happened? She said they would educate the mind in wickedness and encourage the beholder to do as he beholds. If Ted Bundy was still around, you could listen to his story. He did exactly as he fertilized his mind. He carried it out. And you can ask Charles Manson today, who still lives in infamy, and thousands of others like him. Ellen also said that these types of readings and things of theater would harden the conscience and glorify sin. They would destroy the moral and spiritual advancement and would demoralize society. What do you see when you look around today? Was she right? 100%. She also said they would cause an unhealthy excitement of the imagination. They would destroy the power of vigorous thought. They would unbalance one's ability to reason. They would disqualify the mind for spiritual exercise. They would injure the memory and even affect one's social life. Has anyone seen a dysfunctional family lately? Or dysfunctional people in our society that can't seem to figure out what they need to do in order to survive? Then she added this precious thought. We need a little positive here, don't we? Just to get a breath and clean out our ears for a moment. Here's a positive thought. She makes this precious thought. Every youth. What did I say? Every youth would pronounce the Bible the most interesting book they ever read if their imagination had not been perverted by exciting stories of a fictitious character. End quote. Wow. What have we done to rape the minds of a whole generation of kids? How sad knowing what might have been in this generation and seeing where we are today in comparison. Kids killing their parents. Parents killing their kids. Beloved, the pendulum has swung so far that millions of so-called Christians who once stood against the occult, Satanism, witchcraft, and spiritualism are now arguing in its behalf, claiming that these things are not as evil or as bad as we once thought or taught or proclaimed. Even though I try not to speak against individuals per se, in a negative way, there are times, beloved, when we need to take a bold stand for God and identify certain evils that are destroying the minds of God's kids. So rather than speaking about the author of the fantasy series you all know about that has twisted the senses of rational beings, let me just address the fictional character himself, Harry Potter. No doubt you're aware that thousands of Christians have hailed this series of books and the movie Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone as a harmless fantasy. Beloved, there's nothing harmless about fantasy, period. We need to get a grip on reality and get out of fantasy. In fact, there are many today who argue against what I'm telling you today, and they're Christians by name. Many of them would argue that it's just a fairy tale book with great lessons about good versus evil, where good always wins. And besides, they say, it's teaching our kids to love books and to love reading. Beloved, Lenin loved reading and loved books. Hello. There's nothing wrong in learning to read or having a love for books, but beloved, it does make a big difference as to what books our children are reading and what books they love. This is what I read from USA Today, June 15, back in the year 2000. It says the Potter storyline includes the following, and I quote, a disembodied voice repeatedly hissing, kill, kill, kill. Monstrous flesh-eating spiders, children being attacked and paralyzed, and an apparently dead cat hung upside down by its tail, end quote. USA Today, June 15, 2000. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone actually introduces beloved viewers to witchcraft in such a powerful way as to make it almost seem palatable to the unsuspecting mind. In fact, in the story, the evil teacher tells little Harry, quote, a foolish young man I was then, full of ridiculous ideas about good and evil. How wrong I was. There is no good and evil. There is only power and those too weak to seek it. End quote. Whose voice are we listening to here, beloved? Have you read the book, the Word of God lately? Have you understood the controversy lately? This is the bottom line, or the conclusion of the movie, beloved, that witchcraft basically is the power, and if you are not a non-magical person, then you are a loser. But becoming a witch is the thing to do. Is that what you want your kids reading? And yet Christian children are reading it and have read it. 7 volumes in whole, each one progressively darker than the one before. And so the author has made it so, and even stated that's the way it will be. It's no wonder that in May 30 of USA Today, I read these words of a 39-year-old computer programmer who has been practicing witchcraft for some 25 years. Notice these words of praise for Harry Potter. Quote, for once the witches aren't ugly. They're the protagonists rather than the villains. Another witch said about Harry Potter in an interview with abcnews.com this, and I quote, the book might change the way people feel about us. How do you feel about witches and warlocks? I know how God felt about them. He wept over them because, beloved, they're lost unless they come to Jesus Christ. If Christians still think the Potter series is okay, then they need to think again, beloved, is what I'm saying, especially in light of God's Word. How is it, think with me for a moment, how is it that Harry Potter, who supposedly stands for ethics and morals, can manifest the same perverted standards as the evil characters and still be considered good? Do we fight evil with evil? For instance, the so-called good characters are involved in virtually every conceivable occult teaching and practice. They're also involved in drunkenness, cursing, lying, dishonesty, and revenge, to name the obvious. And those kids who have read the books know exactly what I'm talking about. And when you compare these acts of evil with the Word of God, you discover that they are an abomination. One of the strongest words in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, that could be used against such things. It's an abomination to God. Notice what Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 12 has to say about it. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do the abominations of those nations. Beloved, God brought us into this great nation called America. At one time, we were a professed Judeo-Christian culture and nation. But look at us today. Every perversion of the nations around us are here. And we are broadcasting their perversions to the world. Not Jesus, but Satan, the powerful witch. Reading on, it says, there shall not be found among you anyone that speaketh, that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, one who seeks information from the dead, or practices black magic or sorcery. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. In the last book of the Bible, God says that the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars. Don't miss that point. Because the great majority of Americans today lie on a regular basis. These will all have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21:8. No wonder Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, then please, please, please think, meditate on these things. Beloved, had we heeded this counsel of Paul and taken to heart the testimony that was given to this church in 1885, we would not be experiencing a lukewarm, Laodicean, lethargic, apathetic church today. In fact, had we put our affections on the things from above, we could very well have been in the kingdom of God today, long before now. Listen carefully to this special testimony. A testimony of warning. It's rather sobering, especially in light of where we as the Christian church stand today. For those of you that'd like to write it down, it's found in Testimonies to the Church, Volume 4, pages 652 and 653. Among the most dangerous, listen to this. When did I say that was written? 1885. The year after the Great Controversy was written in Volume 4 of the Spirit of Prophecy. Among the most dangerous resorts for pleasure is the theater. It is the very hotbed of immorality. Vicious habits and sinful propensities are strengthened and confirmed by these entertainments. Low songs, lewd gestures, expressions and attitudes deprave the imagination and debase the morals. Every youth, it didn't say 99.9%, it said everyone. It doesn't matter, beloved, whether it's your youth or not. If you have a youth, it applies to them. Every youth who habitually attends such exhibitions will be corrupted in principle. Not might be, will be corrupted in principle. No wonder she picked up her pen in her day and said, not one in 20 of our young people, our Christian young people in this church, had an experiential relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and would be saved if Jesus was to come. Not one in 20. Later, she wrote that not one in 200 young girls have a pure mind. What are we seeing today? One in 1,000? This is sobering, beloved. Let me read it again. Every youth who habitually attends such exhibitions will be corrupted in principle. There is no influence in our land more powerful to poison the imagination, to destroy religious impressions, and to blunt the relish for the tranquil pleasures and sober realities of life than theatrical amusements. The love for these scenes increases. Listen to this. The love for these scenes increases with every indulgence, as the desire for intoxicating drinks strengthens with its use. The only safe course is to shun the theater and every other questionable place of amusement. Unless you want Satan spitting in your brain. He'll defile the temple of God, beloved. And some of us are paying him to do it to us. Beloved, this council seems rather narrow-minded. I'm reminded that Jesus said, narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. If that is your philosophy today, and as you're listening to me, if you feel this is a narrow-minded concept in our broad-minded mentality of our society, then listen and compare what I've just read with what the Apostle Paul says. What it would be like in the last days just before Jesus comes again. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy. I'm reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. In the Amplified Version it says, but understand this, that in the last days, what days did he say? The last days will come perilous times of great stress and trouble. Are we there yet? And why? He goes on to tell us, because people will be lovers of self, and utterly self-centered, lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. They'll be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and profane. Are we there yet? They'll be without natural affection, callous and inhumane, relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce, haters of those that are good. Have you experienced it yet? We're there. They'll be treacherous, betrayers, rash and infatuated with self-conceit. They'll be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusement, more than and rather than lovers of God. Are we there yet? When church becomes boring, we're there. And entertainment becomes the only lifestyle we want, we're there. Reading on, for although they hold a form of piety or true religion. Stop for a moment. What is Paul talking about here? Everything I've listed so far, beloved, is to be found in the last days inside the church, not the world. Paul is telling Timothy, in the last days you will see these things in the church. Know that his coming is nigh when you see it happen. For although they hold a form of piety or true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of God. Why? Because they've substituted the power of God for the power of Satan. And they don't see what's so bad about that. God help us, beloved, to discern the enemy. Reading on, he closes by saying their conduct denies the genuineness of their profession. And then he says, avoid all such people. Turn away from them, in other words. End quote. Do you understand the significance of what Paul is saying here, beloved? He's telling Timothy that in the last days, this will be the condition again within the church that professes to worship God. And beloved, I know this sounds a little extreme, but if we were to actually seriously take Paul's advice, then there would be many within the church today from whom we would have to turn away and have no fellowship with. Are you thinking? Maybe you need to turn away from yourself, the old man, and turn to God. Ellen put it like this in Messages to Young People, page 390. God's people cannot with safety enter into intimate associations with those who know the truth but do not practice. And if we allow our young people to associate with those that are not practicing what they believe, we're allowing our young people to be destroyed. Hear me, beloved, this is serious. You would never put your child in harm's way by putting him in a lion's den. And yet we willfully allow them to associate with those whose morals are down because they attend the same church. God forbid. Listen to what we're saying here, beloved. Don't send your children to programs and to even church-sponsored programs where you know that there's an influence that will destroy their soul. Do you realize, beloved, that one day soon a wake-up call will be given to all the churches around the world saying that Babylon the Great has fallen and become the habitations of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird? Do you know that a final call will then be given to every professing Christian to come out of confusion and all spiritual fornication with the world so that they might not be partakers of her sins or of her plagues which are soon to fall? Do you know that that message will soon be given? Loved, when I look at the present condition of our churches and the spiritual condition and attachment that we have with the world today, I can't help but believe that we're standing on the very threshold of eternity. Today, God is about to take the reins, I'm suggesting, into His own hands. He's about to turn and overturn, and He's about to call a final halt to the perversions of His own people. And when He does, beloved, I want to be on God's side, not on Satan's side. How about you? Let's pray. Father, today we recognize that Satan is working perhaps in ways we never saw before. And perhaps we've been duped, we've been deceived, and yet thought that we were still going to make it. After all, we go to church. Sometimes we even attend prayer meeting. And we read our Bible occasionally. Father, today as we've listened to the challenge of where we are in America, in this mess, I pray that you'll open the eyes and the minds and the ears of every person that's heard my voice, and that they will make a personal decision to choose Jesus and to turn their back on the enemy of God. And Father, I pray that it might happen in each of our hearts, every moment of every day, that we might choose Jesus and that we might be born again and have a new heart, so the church will no longer be boring, but the most exciting moment of the week. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2002, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. For additional cassettes by this speaker or for a free catalog of other American Cassette Ministry cassettes, please contact us as follows. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 800-233-4450. For international calls, dial 717-652-7000. For fax orders, dial 717-652-9050. Our internet email address is info@americancassette.org. Other cassettes may also be ordered from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. Our entire catalog is online, and we accept MasterCard, Visa, and Discover credit cards. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108 in the United States of America. Maintaining the integrity of the Three Angels' messages for 27 years, American Cassette Ministries requests your continued prayers and financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry, to prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.